So let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. We are live from Bartle Hall for the KC Boat and Sports Show. I think I saw Fanning looking at some hunting rifles. He was looking at getting a new boat. That afternoon money sure is paying well. It is The Drive. A minute late, but always on time. Carrington Harrison here, live inside Bartle Hall. Back at the studio, it is Nick the Quick Price. We'll continue to learn more about his favorite movies and TV shows in today's pop quiz. And to my life, the ideal outdoorsman. One that would even make Ned Yost blush, the one, the only Brad Fanning. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. How are you doing today, man? I love being down at the boat show, looking at all these boats. I mean, it looks crazy how many boats they have down here. And Benny, the guy that's running the show down here, told me there's actually an airplane down there. There's an airplane that can land on beaches, land on grass, land everywhere. So they got a bunch of stuff down here at the boat show. It started today at 2 o'clock. It runs through Sunday down here at Bartle Hall. It's a lot of fun, man. I love coming out of these shows. People are starting to roll in now, and it's getting a little bit nutty down here, C-Dot. I love it.
So coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we'll catch up with Jeff Schwartz, a former NFL offensive lineman, played for the Kansas City Chiefs. And you might not know this. He is the brother of Mitchell Schwartz. Jeff Schwartz will be on the show coming up in just a minute. We'll also give you a chance to win a prize during the pop quiz. We got a lot of stuff to get into in today's show. Now it is the Thursday before the biggest game at Arrowhead in probably 20 years, Chiefs and Colts in the second round of the AFC playoffs. 3:35 kick over at NBC. It's time to start looking at these matchups. It's time to start looking at who is going to win on Saturday and why. And if you've been listening to the show for long enough, you know I'm not one for the elements. I don't like the weather.
No, you don't.
I don't like it when it's cold. I don't like it when it's rainy. I don't like it when it's windy. I don't like it when it snows.
You don't like it when it's super hot either, do you?
I don't really have the problem with it that I do when it's right now, but the weather plays a part in these football games. And maybe something else you guys didn't know.
Yeah.
It's cold in Kansas City in January. The weather outside is very frightful. Now, the weather might be very frightful in Indianapolis in January, but the difference is the Colts, they play in an indoor facility. How is that going to affect the game? Nick, if you got it, let's get the weather reports. You guys can learn more about how cold it's going to be at Arrowhead on Saturday.
Saturday morning, there's going to be a definite difference in our forecast when we talk about the chance for snow, which has gone up, especially in the morning again, up to about a decent 80% chance, I think Aaron's been talking about this morning. And you'll see from our forecast that our temperatures are also going to be cold enough for snow. So it's certainly going to be in the 30s, maybe even just at or below freezing as we head through tailgate. Even first half, even into at least the second half, temperatures could be falling by the afternoon and evening. And I think we're going to have some flurries out there as we head through the end of the game as well.
So, Fanning, you just heard it. It's going to be cold. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be snowy. And I don't know about you. I don't like the chances of a team that plays indoors that 50% of their games are played in ideal conditions. Now you're asking that team to go on the road in January and have to grind it out in the playoffs. History says that is not a winning proposition.
Man, you know how I feel about this game. I'm viewing this game as a dental appointment or knee surgery. I just want to get through it. And then wake me up when it's over and tell me everything's okay. I'm serious. Like I'm a nervous wreck about this football game. So I don't think this weather's good for anybody. When's the last time you saw Mahomes play in a snowstorm? When's the last time you saw him play in a playoff game in snow? I haven't seen that either. I would tend to think, as crazy as this sounds, that the weather may actually benefit the Colts a little bit more than the Chiefs because the Colts can run the football better than Kansas City can. So I don't know who this is good for. I'm going to go ahead and say it's good for neither team. And maybe I give the edge to the Chiefs because it's at Arrowhead, and as you said, we are dealing with a dome team here. But you also have to remember the Colts are playing on house money here. And dome teams have won in the cold before. It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. So my fear is that the cold, and if it's freezing rain, if it's snow, whatever it is around kickoff, I'm curious to see how that's going to affect Mahomes in the passing game for the Chiefs.
Well, you say that dome teams have won on the road before in these kind of environments. Well, Fanning, I've got the numbers for you.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Dome teams that play on the road in the NFL playoffs are 12-44. Those of you that are not great with your math, that is a 21.4 win percentage.
Not very good.
12-44 on the road in these kind of environments.
Yeah.
It's going to be 28 degrees. It's going to be wind. It's going to be rain. It's going to be snow. I'm not feeling good about it. I'll give you another stat because I got stats at the wazoo today. T.Y. Hilton does not have one game this season outdoors in which he's had over 100 yards. That high-flying Colts offense that you're so afraid of, they're not so big and bad outdoors in the elements. We see this time and time again, whether it's Drew Brees going on the road, whether it was Atlanta and that offense when they were dynamic going on the road, whether it's a team like Indianapolis when we saw Peyton Manning in playoffs had to go on the road. I will take my chances with a home team that plays every game or every home game where it's 65 and ideal, no wind, no elements, and now you got to go into a cold, loud, snowy, 28-degree environment, which I think it's going to be at Arrowhead on Saturday.
No, I'm with you. I mean, you would think at home in a dome team playing in Kansas City doesn't work, but we've seen it before. Michael Vick went into Lambeau and won. The Colts in 95 came in here with Harbaugh. The weather was terrible, and they won. I mean, it can't happen. And let's not forget, we're not dealing with some chump of a quarterback for the Colts and Andrew Luck. I mean, this guy has 39 touchdowns. It's probably going to be number two in the MVP voting, you know, behind Mahomes. So they can play a little bit too. So I'm with you. Like, I understand what you're saying. I get it. You know, that it would seem on the surface that the Chiefs have the advantage here. But I do think bad weather sort of neutralizes everybody. You know, I'll give you a golf example for the golfers out there, because I know we have a lot of guys that play golf. You play in the elements, and then the guys that are mutters, the guys that can handle the wind, the guys that can handle the elements usually win. And the guys that typically don't usually get beat when it's not 85 and perfect with no wind. So I would compare the Colts to the guy that's loves playing golf in 85 and no wind in perfect conditions versus a guy that can go out there and win at the British Open when it's howling and it's raining and it's chilly. So I'm with you on that, C-Dot. I think the weather definitely favors the Chiefs, but I also do think the Colts are a pretty good football team when it comes to doing things that, you know, can lead to success in the rain and in the snow and in the elements, like running the football. Again, we saw last week the Houston Texans, they hadn't given up a 100-yard rusher all year. Marlon Mack went for, what, a 148? The Colts ran for 200. Running the football, playing good defense, usually works when the weather is bad. The Chiefs don't run the football that great, and we sure as heck know they don't play great defense.
Yeah, I mean, I would be a little bit worried, I guess, solely from the – I think the biggest advantage that the Indianapolis Colts have in this game is their offensive line against the front, against the defensive line and against the pressure of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think you can make an argument that the Colts have the best offensive line in the NFL. Maybe you want to make a Dallas Cowboys argument, but they're certainly top three in the NFL.
Yeah, they're really good.
If this becomes the grinded out game, maybe you and I think, look at the game against the Houston Texans for Indianapolis a lot different. I think that Indianapolis was able to get off to a big lead and just kind of bleed you dry.
Sure.
I don't know if Indianapolis is getting 35 rushing attempts, maybe in the same scenario in which it was. I think the elements in this, if it becomes that grinded out kind of game where Mahomes isn't going to be able to do some of the razzle-dazzle magical stuff just because the elements don't allow yourself, can Andy Reid, can this offensive line, can Damian Williams? And that's why, maybe this is a hot take, I actually think if all things are considered and the elements and the weather ends up being how people think it's going to be, I might side with Spencer Ware being the biggest addition to this team other than Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want the 25-year-old speedster running or the fast wide receiver on the outside with the messed up foot in this situation. I think you want the 220 running back that can maybe get 10, 15 carries. You can kind of play that thunder and lightning combination with Damian Williams. If the weather gets bad and neither team can throw it 35, 40 times and it becomes that ball control possession kind of game, I do agree with you that that would tend to side with Indianapolis a little bit more than Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean Tyreek Hill's a Ferrari. They usually don't do well in the snow and the mud. You know, Spencer wears a truck. Spencer Ware's four-wheel drive. Spencer Ware's a guy that you're going to need if the elements are as bad as we think they are. Nick, do you have the audio from John Clayton from earlier today? I pulled some audio from John Clayton. He was on 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. And one of the things the hosts in Indianapolis were asking John Clayton about was, how is the weather going to affect his football game? Play the audio. Thank you, Nick.
And it's looking like there could be snow in the forecast, at least in the morning, there in Kansas City. Would that lead you to lean Colts at all? Would the precipitation favor the Colts in this situation, John, given the fact that
they probably would, because if the footing's going to be a little bit off, even though they'll have the home cleats and they'll know exactly what to have, you know, it takes away their speed. You know, in two ways. It takes away their speed with Tyreek Hill and what they're able to do in the passing game, but it also takes away that pass rush. Because if the guys that are the three pass rushers can't get the footing to get the extra pressure, that makes them even more vulnerable, and it may allow Andrew a little bit more time to make some throws, or at least get Marlon Mack more time to get to the line of scrimmage.
So if you listen to what John Clayton had to say, essentially what he's saying is he thinks it benefits the Colts. John Clayton's been around a long time. He's seen the Chiefs multiple times this year in person. And I do think, at least at this point, bad weather – is gonna ground that air game a little bit for Kansas City.
Coming up in just a minute, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. And Andy Reid gave us the final injury update for your Kansas City Chiefs. What's the status of Spencer Ware, Sammy Watkins, and, of course, Eric Berry? We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll catch up with Jeff Schwartz, brother of Mitchell Schwartz, played in the offensive line, played for your Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk to him about the Colts offensive line, and we'll get his thoughts on the upcoming matchup regarding Chiefs and Colts this Saturday at Arrowhead, the biggest game at Arrowhead in a very, very long time. As he does, well, today is technically a Friday. I know it's Thursday, but in NFL time, how the Chiefs are handling it, today is a Friday. Every Friday, Andy Reid gives us the final injury report for your Kansas City Chiefs. There were some big names we were expecting to hear about. What about Spencer Ware? What about Sammy Watkins? And what about Eric Berry, who did not practice yesterday for the Kansas City Chiefs? Nick, hit it. What did
people that didn't practice today, Eric Berry didn't practice. We kicked him back there a little bit on the last 2 days. Had good work our first day out, and then with our Wednesday practice, it was on a Tuesday. And then Dorian O'Daniel did not practice today with a calf contusion.
Eric Berry, once again, back-to-back days, did not practice for the Kansas City Chiefs. I remember on the text line yesterday, many of you were saying, what if this was the plan? I don't know if the plan was to have Eric Berry practice the first day that this team practiced to get ready for the postseason and then sit him out both days. I think there is a belief in NFL circles that if you don't practice on the Friday before the game or the last practice day before the game, you are not going to go. And then in another cut, Andy Reid said that Eric Berry was, quote, day-to-day the same as he's always been in a game-time decision. It's done. Tomorrow when we're breaking down this game and we're talking about it, I'm not factoring in Eric Berry. If he's there, cool. If he ain't, then we've seen this team play, what is it, 29 of their last 32 games without having Eric Berry. I'm over it. It's done. Many of you were at this point a long time ago. I apologize for not being on the same wavelength as many of you. But, yeah, Eric Berry has not practiced 3 of the last 4 practices for the Kansas City Chiefs. He ain't playing on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's time for Chiefs fans just to get it in their head that he's not going to be there. All right, get over it. Let it go, you know. Let it go. Get rid of that baggage in your brain. Just cut it loose because Eric Berry's not going to play. And if he does play, he's not going to have a tremendous impact on the game. So it's time to sit back and understand that it's going to be Ron Parker, Dan Sorensen, Jordan Lucas, and whoever else they throw back there at safety. Eric Berry hasn't practiced for 2 straight days leading up to the biggest game of the season, coming off a bye week, and he didn't play against the Raiders either. All right, if he can't be on the practice field 3 days, having over 2 weeks off, then I don't understand why anybody would hold out hope that Eric Berry would one play, and even if he did, have an impact on this playoff game. So it's time, I think, for the mental health of all of Chiefs Kingdom just to put it behind you. All right, it's done. Eric Berry's not going to play in this game. He's not going to make a tremendous impact. And here's the thing. You're going to have to go out there with the guys you got, which is why I said a couple of weeks ago that Tremont Smith, guys like that, Charvarius Ward, dudes that they haven't counted on a whole lot this season. Talking rookies, guys that are 22 years old, I think the majority and a large part of the Chiefs' playoff future rests on the shoulder pads of a couple of 22-year-olds that have a combined 3 starts. Eric Berry's out. Just put it out of your mind. He's done. He's not playing.
I mean, I agree with you. I don't really know how anybody can disagree with you with where we're at right now. Man, we're talking about the inexperience of the secondary. I know you're counting on guys like Tremont Smith. I know you're counting on guys like Charvarius Ward. If we're going to move forward and talk about the guys that we do think are playing, if we are eliminating Eric Berry, who has made 5 starts in the playoffs, Ron Parker has 4, Daniel Sorensen has 2 playoff starts, Steven Nelson has 2, and that's it. There's not a whole lot of playoff experience. Hell, there's not a whole lot of game experience on the back end of that. We talk about the pillars of your team and the foundation for your football team. Coach, quarterback, secondary, and pass rush. Man, you're going into a playoff game against a elite quarterback, top 3 quarterback this year in the NFL, with Tremont Smith, who was a kick returner for much of the season, Charvarius Ward, who was undrafted, 6 months ago now, and he was on the Cowboys in early August. You trade him. He was inactive for most of the season. Kendall Fuller with the broken wrist, Orlando Scandrick. I don't know what the deal with Orlando Scandrick is. Man, you're going into the playoffs with probably the worst secondary remaining in the playoffs and maybe the worst secondary in the league.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe you're thinking maybe the worst secondary in the league, huh?
It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Lucas.
No, Barry, Fuller with the banged up wrist.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Charvarius Ward too, but I feel like that's a like for 2020. I don't know if that's a like for January 12th, 2019.
You know, I mean, I'll give those guys a little bit of credit based on what I saw in the Seattle game. I mean, Russell Wilson made some plays on those guys, but their coverage was actually pretty good. And you're asking these guys to play way above their skis in a playoff game in the elements against Andrew Luck, a guy who's been there and done that. So it's going to be really difficult. Jordan Lucas, by the way, did appear in one playoff game for the Dolphins. So he's got at least some feel for what the playoffs are like. But I'm with you, man. When it comes down to the worst secondary left in the tournament, not even close. It's here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I would say, again, maybe two.
And inexperienced, too.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I would say, I brought this up earlier in the week, and I'm on the side of the Chiefs winning, but I do think you've got to be fair and balanced in talking about this game. You're going in with zero playoff experience at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And I know Mahomes has completely excelled anybody's expectations. First-year quarterbacks, 4-11 in their last 15 games in the NFL playoffs. Mm-hmm. The playoffs is designed to chew up and spit up young quarterbacks, sure. And they do not have success in their first start. You're also expecting this young secondary, I would say, up against an offensive line, the Indianapolis Colts, which I don't know many Chiefs fans that are expecting them to get a whole lot of pressure. I know Chris Jones has had a great season when it comes to sacks and yeah. quarterback hits. I don't know how often Chris Jones is going to be on the backfield. D. Ford, I don't know how often he's going to be in the backfield, given what I think about Indianapolis' offensive line. Man, if this front four, if this front seven can't get pressure on the quarterback, and then you're asking Tremont Smith and Charvarius Ward to have to cover, seems like a dangerous proposition.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really difficult, too. And the thing that the Chiefs are best at is getting to the quarterback. I mean, if I'm the Colts, I run the football. I mean, they ran it down the Texans' throat last week, and that's a defense that hadn't given up a 100-yard rusher all season. And they absolutely shredded the Colts. Now, Marlon Mack had the game of his life, I'll give you that. He ran for 148. I believe that's a career high for him. But if I'm the Colts, that's what I come in and do, man. Try and stop us, because not only does that eat clock and keep Mahomes on the sideline, it also eliminates your biggest defensive weapon, which is getting to the quarterback. Yeah, you know, Chris Jones could get his penetration for sure. I think he'll do that. But, man, getting to the quarterback and getting sacks, which you tied for the league lead with 52 in the regular season, that eliminates that. I'm running the football the entire time. I'm eating clock. I'm moving the stakes and doing all that stuff if I'm the Colts. And I think the weather plays into that as well.
I want to read to you guys a tweet from Sam Ellinger of the Kansas City Star, because I thought he brought up a really good question. It was in replying to Brooke Pryor, who was the Kansas City Chiefs co-beat writer with Lynn Worthy. What has been your famous memory of Eric Berry with the Chiefs? I'm not sure whether I'm serious or not. I know this will sound weird, but I think you have to take the cancer aspect out of it and at least talk about what your favorite memory of Eric Berry is. And I think part of the why it's such a big deal, aside from the contract, is I can't think of many times, I would say, post-Derek Thomas, post-Neil Smith,
yeah.
that I can look at a Chiefs regular season game and say they won that game because of a defensive player.
Yeah.
They've had some great defensive players over the year. Tom Bahali's been a great defensive yeah. player. Derek Johnson. We can go down the
like
list.
Eric Berry in Atlanta, you know?
That's the one I think of.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of another regular season game, and maybe the text line can
maybe
help
Marcus
me
Marcus Peters against the Panthers, maybe?
I'm trying to – and you got to remember, also, Berry had that big pick six in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the Chiefs solely won that game because Eric Berry was not going to let them lose and played at a defensive player of the year metric that I think, and I know I certainly can speak for myself here, and I think this is the same hope for a lot of Chiefs fans and people in Chiefs Kingdom, was if you could get 75% of that, if you could get 85%, then I think all of us kind of wrapped ourselves in the idea of he can be Bob Sanders. We don't need you during the regular season.
Yeah.
We can still get the one seed. We can still do all those things. And if you can give us just that glimmer of hope, that thing to get us over the hump. So it's been really disappointing to now get to game week, to now the Chiefs have no more practices between now and the playoff game. And it's a game time decision. And if Andy Reid is going to say he's day-to-day just like he's always was, well, then day-to-day like he's always been for the last 15 weeks has been he ain't playing.
Yeah. No, he's unavailable. I mean, and for people out there that are still holding out hope that having Berry take these 2 days off, well, it's a veteran plan day off. Man, he had that for 14 weeks. You know, he didn't play in a preseason game, and he had it for 14 weeks of the regular season. So let's stop it. All right, Eric Berry's not riding in on war paint and saving the day. You know, it's not happening. So we're riding with the dudes that we got, and it ain't looking good in the secondary. It looks worse than it typically does. So, yeah, Eric, and the last time the Chiefs actually got a win because of a defensive guy, it had to be Eric Berry, which would have been 2 years ago. So, yeah, that's another reason why I don't feel good about this game. I feel like I'm going to an appointment to get a root canal. I mean, that's what this game feels like. I want it to be over. I want the Chiefs to get through this. I don't care how they get through it. Win 17-10, win 41-30. I don't care what they do. Just get through this game against a team that matches up horribly with them.
Coming up in just a minute, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our National Cash Contest. And we will catch up with Jeff Schwartz, former Chiefs offensive lineman and brother of Mitchell Schwartz. Jeff Schwartz coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Right now, it is your chance to win $1,000 on the 30s in our National Cash Contest. Text the word GRAVE, G-R-A-V-E, GRAVE, to 72881. That's GRAVE. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 on the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both. Weekdays, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
What?
Text the word GRAVE, G-R-A-V-E, to 72881. That's GRAVE to 72881. Coming up in just a minute, we'll all take a minute. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win $25 to Twin Peaks. But right now, it is an honor to be joined by former Chiefs offensive lineman, author. He is also the brother of right tackle Mitchell Schwartz. Jeff Schwartz joins us on the show today. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Excited for the game. They'll be here, well, less than 48 hours now, huh?
No, you're 100% right. Jeff, let's start with this. How exciting has it been to see your brother Mitchell have a fantastic season this year?
It's been wonderful.
Hello, Jeff, you there?
We got you, Jeff, or we lose you.
Oh, sorry. My fat face hit the mute button. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm
yeah. Sorry about that.
That's all right,
know,
man.
I was saying that, you know, my brother obviously was fantastic. I mean, you know, he gave up 2 sacks, 20 pressures, and he definitely deserved all pro. And glad he got the recognition that he did this year. But, like, last year he played, like, 11 elite pass rushers, and he should have got the same attention last year as he did this year. He didn't fate, you know, Khalil Mack, obviously, non-division, where last year he was fabulous last year, too. So I'm glad he finally gets the recognition he deserves. He should have gotten it last year, too, for the guys that he went against. And I'm so proud of him.
Hey, Nick, if you can you put him on hold? I don't know what's happening back there. He sounds like an Autobot. He sounds like a Transformer. Let's see if we can fix it and get Jeff Schwartz back on. I really wanted to talk to Jeff because we talk so much about the Colts offensive line.
Yeah.
He just has an area of expertise to break down the Colts offensive line that we simply don't have. I mean, you look at it, it was a big decision for the Colts to draft a guard in the top 10 last year. They go grab Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame, and he's had an all-pro kind of season.
Yeah.
You talk about the job that Chris Ballard's done. You hit on that pick. Like, he has done a fantastic job in Indianapolis.
Yeah, he has. And when you got the offensive line, I mean, that's what it comes down to this time of the year. I mean, you want O-line, you want to win that battle in the trenches, and we all know that you've got to be able to run. You've got to be able to run the football and play good defense. I also want to ask Jeff, too, about, you know, what it's like to have to play in these kind of conditions. I mean, weather's going to be a factor on Saturday at Arrowhead Stadium, and we're talking about snow, maybe some freezing rain. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, and for an offensive lineman, I want to know how that's going to affect both sides, especially a team that plays the majority of their games in a dome.
Hey Nick, let's try one more time. You probably got to turn utility off. That's probably why it's having the reverb that it has. Let's go back to the phone line and see if we can catch up with Jeff Schwartz, former Chiefs offensive lineman. He is also the brother of Mitchell.
You there?
Jeff, you there? Yeah, we are here.
We got you, buddy.
Are you there?
Hello?
No, we got you. All right, hey, let's start with this. Quentin Nelson, the Colts offensive line, really good. What is your evaluation of Indianapolis offensive line?
Oh, man, they're playing really well. Obviously, Quentin Nelson, all-pro, left guard. We saw what he did last week to Clowney and whatnot. We look at a guy like Ryan Kelly, their center. He's playing some fabulous football. He's finally healthy now. Brayden Smith, they drafted him, put him the right tackle. He's doing a good job. They're just a physical unit, man. They play really well together. They obviously protect Andrew Luck. And if you're the Chiefs' defense, you got to get after Andrew Luck. You know the Chiefs at times have had troubles on defense, but they get bailed out because their pass rush is really good. And so the pass rush is going to have to get home against a really good offensive line this weekend.
Hey, Jeff, I really wish we could hear you. We're going to have to end this interview because he sounds like he's on the moon. Hey, go ahead and put him on hold, Nick. It sounds like Jeff Schwartz is on the moon.
Yeah,
is he
Maximus Prime? Is that what he is?
Yeah, I don't know what's happening with our guy, Jeff. It's sounding really bad when it comes to him. I'm really kind of disappointed. I thought we were going to get a chance to kind of look at the Colts offensive line. I'm kind of looking at the text line, and I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game. But I think we do have to at least acknowledge, at least on paper, some of the advantages that the Colts would seem to have in this game that I don't know. I would say this. Maybe let's start with this. I think the biggest advantage that the Colts potentially have in this matchup is their offensive line neutralizing the biggest advantage that the Chiefs have.
Sure.
The Chiefs have big advantages in this game. Like, I'm not very confident in the Colts' defense. Opposing quarterbacks are completing 70% of their passes this year against the Indianapolis Colts. So you can certainly move the ball. You can certainly dink and dunk, and you can move the ball against the Indianapolis Colts. At this point, it's all about matchups, and it's all about styles making fights. But the Colts' offensive line, I do think, should be a concern for you heading into the game.
No, I'm with you. You know, and one of the guys on that offensive line, and Jeff mentioned him, is Braden Smith. I mean, that's a local kid from Olathe that went to Auburn, and he was a second-round draft pick of the Colts. You talked about them hitting big on draft picks. I'm curious to see what a young man like that and Braden Smith, who's the starting right tackle, which means he's going to have to go head-to-head with Dee Ford. So you got a rookie over there, second-round pick, local kid, having to go man-to-man with Dee Ford. And I kind of like that matchup, even though Braden Smith in that offensive line is having a really good year. But you throw any rookie right tackle, you know, or excuse me, a rookie right tackle against a guy like Dee Ford, a fifth-year pass rusher who's having the best year of his career. And that's one part of the matchup that I really like.
I was looking at this, and I know that you and I are a little bit different, I guess, with history and kind of stats and how it plays itself in. And my biggest concern about the Indianapolis Colts is just I don't know the meat of their schedule. I don't really know who they've beaten. Nick found this stat earlier today. Away teams are 5-15 in the last 20 divisional matchups in the second round of the playoffs, yeah, and 13-27 in the last 40. So, of course, the Indianapolis Colts can win this game. There's no denying that. They certainly are a team that's capable of winning this game. But there is a reason why you get a bye. There is a reason why you're the one or the two seed. You are the better team. You are the more talented team. And I think if later on the show, we're going to go tail of the tape and we're going to go back and forth. I think from top to bottom, the Chiefs roster is just – They have more high-end talent, and I think they're a little bit deeper team. That the Colts, they remind me so much of the Chiefs team back in 2015. The Colts, if their season ends Saturday, which I think it will, they've had a good season. But when I look at that schedule, when I look back to teams that they've beaten, they just haven't beaten upper echelon. They just haven't beaten enough elite teams, yeah, for me to pick them to go on the road and beat a team like this. I would pick the Colts to lose on the road to any team remaining in the AFC playoffs. I would say New England. They would lose this week at New England. They would lose this week at Los Angeles, even though they don't really have a home field advantage. And this week at Indianapolis. They've had a fine season. I just think there is a little bit of a gap between the upper echelon team that I still believe the Chiefs to be and the Colts.
Yeah, and I went back and I looked, C-Dot. I looked at, over the last 5 years, wild card round, division round, conference championship round, what home teams do. And it's about a 50-50 split in the divisional round. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're home or not. You know, the wild card round, but you get to the divisional round. And over the last 5 years, I mean, you're going to win, what, 7, 8 out of 10 times if you're the home team. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, if we just sat here and we drank Chiefs Kool-Aid and we were Sean Barber for 4 hours here talking about how great the Chiefs are and how this defense is going to step up and it's Chief Kingdom and it's Mahomes and he's the MVP and just acted like the Chiefs weren't going to have any problems with this Colts team, we would be doing our job. You know, and I understand that there's fans out there right now that want to hear how great the Chiefs are and how the Chiefs are going to end this home playoff curse and that's dated all the way back to Joe Montana. But the truth of the matter is it's a bad matchup. And this is a good Colts team. And stuff can't happen in the NFL playoffs because you get to this point, you're damn good. And the Colts, I don't care where you look. You want to listen to Brian Billick, you want to listen to anybody on the NFL Network, you want to listen to some of the smartest people around, they'll tell you that the Colts are the hottest team right now, and they are a force to be reckoned with right now. This is not the same 1-5 team in the beginning of the season. It's just not, okay? We're to this point now, so you have to take the Colts seriously.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think anybody's not taking them seriously. I think maybe the difference between you and I and how we're looking at this game is I don't maybe look at the Colts as being the bad matchup that you seem for them to be.
Yeah.
If I could pick any team remaining in the NFL playoffs for the Chiefs to be playing this week, I would pick the Colts. I think the Colts are the least talented roster remaining. I think aside from Andrew Luck, that is a 5-win football team. Now, Luck is great.
Yeah.
Luck, I think if Mahomes wasn't having the MVP kind of season, I think Luck would have a very strong case for MVP. I just don't think that Colts roster is that strong. When I look at offenses that they've gone up against, they haven't really done a good job. Hell, they haven't really played a lot of top-flight offense. Like, I just don't see, aside from their offensive line, and if it turns into the Marlon Mack getting 30 carries game, I just don't see a whole lot of things that you should be worried about or fearful with the Indianapolis Colts.
And I understand where you're coming from on that, but if it's me, give me the Chargers. Give me the Chargers instead of the Colts. I mean, the Chiefs have beat them 9 out of the last 10.
Chargers have way more talent.
I understand that, but the Chiefs also know the Chargers because they play them twice a week, and Andy Reid's owned the AFC West, and they were, what, 4.5 minutes away from closing out the Chargers at Arrowhead Stadium, and three different times they built two touchdown leads on them. So, yeah, the Colts do scare me, and they should scare you as a Chiefs fan. Anybody that's listening right now, they should scare you based on what they do. At the very least, at least you know the Chargers. You have an understanding of what they like to do, what their quarterback does, and you've seen them multiple times every single year. The Colts, you don't have that, and the Colts are on a hot streak right now, and they're playing with house money. They're not scared of anything. They're not even supposed to be here right now. So the Colts are like, what the hell, let's go out there. You want to talk about a team without any pressure? It's the Indianapolis Colts. They're probably a year to 2 years ahead of where they ought to be right now. And so that's why, to me, the Colts scare me a little bit. The Chiefs have a hell of a lot more to lose than the Colts do right now. We're talking about a home playoff losing streak being extended by the bane of your existence, the Indianapolis Colts, by a team that shouldn't be here. You're talking about a number one seed potentially losing to a six seed in Kansas City at Arrowhead with an MVP as your quarterback, with a coach that can't seem to get over the hump in the playoffs. So the Chiefs have a ton of pressure on them. The Colts have none coming into this game.
Excuse me. Coming up in just a minute, we'll give you a chance to win $25 to Twin Peaks, and we'll all take a minute. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Well, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Back in on The Drive, we'll give you a chance to win $25 at Twin Peaks coming up in just a minute. Coming up in 15 minutes, I've got another Chiefs playoff button for you to press.
Is this Carrington's hypothetical button game?
I've got another one for you to press coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll also play what Deion Sanders had to say as he gives his thoughts on the game. And you think if the Chiefs lose, this will be the most disappointing playoff loss in Chiefs history. But we are here at the Boat Show in Bartle Hall.
Yeah, we're down here at Bartle Hall. It's a pretty good deal, too, man. $12 for people 13 and up. Children under 12 and younger are free when they're accompanied by a paid adult. You save $2 on the full price of admission when you purchase tickets in advance online. You can do that. That offer goes through, well, actually, that offer's up. My bad. I'm reading the copy wrong. But anyway, the boat show runs today through Sunday. Come on out and check it out. They got a bunch of great boats here. I'm looking at the Cobalt boats over here. I've been on a few of those before. Those are fantastic. Bass Trackers right in front of us. And I know my mother and father-in-law are coming down here, and I know my father-in-law is probably going to want a new boat, so I probably got him in trouble with his wife. But it's a lot of fun. Gates are open right now. There's boats everywhere down here, and it's always a fun time at the boat show at Bartle Hall.
I'm going to do something that has never been done before in the history of Give Me a Minute.
What are you going to do?
Nick, hit it. Fanning.
Yo.
I'm about to Dustin Colquitt punt this minute. I want you to be positive about the Kansas City Chiefs for the duration of my minute. All positivity.
Okay.
I need all positivity for the whole minute. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, the Chiefs have the coach and quarterback advantage in this for sure. I would take Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid over Frank Wright and Andrew Luck. I do like the fact that this game is being played in Kansas City. You got the Arrowhead nutbags out there. Going to be going crazy. It's going to be loud and ready to roll. Now, I did go back and I looked at all of the Colts' losses this year because I wanted to get a feel for a common thread of some of the things that they did when they got beat. And the common thread that I found was that they threw the football a hell of a lot more than they ran it. And they typically got behind early. So if the Chiefs can jump out on these guys, build a little bit of a lead, and you got Andrew Luck throwing it 53 times and they're only running it 22 times, guess what that does? That lets Dee Ford and Chris Jones and Justin Houston eat. How's that for being positive?
That's all I wanted for my minute.
Yeah, okay. There's some positive in me, man. Like I said, I feel like I'm
We haven't heard a whole lot of it this
week. Well, because I don't feel good about it.
We haven't heard a lot of it.
I'm nervous.
You
I'm
sound
anxious.
Like Indy Brad this week.
I don't feel good. I don't feel good about this game. I'm scared to death of this game.
This is the game you wanted.
I know, because, I mean, I did want it. And the reason I wanted it was because I wanted the Chiefs to beat these guys, so we put this thing away. We put this thing to bed.
You're kind of like a kid that really wants a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to the day after Christmas,
yeah,
you don't want to play with the toy
yeah,
anymore.
Kinda,
that's how you've been about the Indianapolis Colts.
Like, I remember one time in college.
You literally just said in the last segment you want the Chargers, when last week you were telling me you were beating the table saying you wanted the Colts.
I want the Colts. I want the Colts for the fans. I want this to go away.
But not for the team.
No. For the team, I think the Chargers are a better matchup. For the Colts, I want it for my mental stability. I want it for the Chiefs Kingdom and the fans to beat the Colts in the playoffs at Arrowhead so we can put this whole thing to bed. That's what I want.
I want them to just win a playoff game. I don't really care who the game is.
That would be nice.
They haven't done that since 1994.
If you can do it to the Colts, that'd be amazing as well. All right, Nick, give me a minute, please. See that I'm stealing a line from you, man. The old shoot your shot line. You know, you're big on guys shooting their shot, right?
Got to.
Take your chance. Todd Gurley shot his shot, my friend. He sent out a tweet, and it said, "Who got Mackenzie Bezos IG or Twitter with two big eyeballs?" For those that don't know, Mackenzie Bezos is the soon-to-be ex-wife of Amazon big shot Jeff Bezos. She may get $69 billion. That's billion with a B in the divorce. This may be the most expensive divorce in the history of divorces. And Rams running back Todd Gurley went on Twitter, wanted to hook up with Mackenzie because she's got $69 billion coming her way. Todd Gurley shot his shot. I gotta admire, man.
I mean, I don't even know if that's shooting your shot. That seems kind of smart to me. I mean, yeah. I didn't know who this woman was before a couple of days ago. I would marry this woman if I know she got 70 with a B coming. She got $70 billion coming.
What would you put up with for a woman that was that wealthy?
I mean, we would just have separate houses. So even if she was getting on my nerves, we don't got to spend a whole lot of time together.
Jeff Bezos,
we have $70 billion to split. You can never make me unhappy because whatever you do, I can get far enough away from you to be happy.
Jeff Bezos owns 16% of Amazon. His net worth is currently $136.8 billion, and he's getting divorced.
That's really scary to me that 16% of Amazon is worth that much money.
Isn't that nuts?
Like, that's 16% of it. The other, I mean, just that's an insane amount of money.
It's scary to me that you're going to have to give away $69 billion to your ex-wife, and you're still going to be fine. I think Jeff Bezos is going to be okay living on, you know, walking away with $70 billion of his own money. That's my minute.
Nick, go ahead, man.
What a difference a couple weeks makes, guys. Kyler Murray, for a long time, it seemed like he was going to go and play baseball for the Oakland Athletics. And now it looks like he might be the number one pick in the NFL draft because Cliff Kingsbury, the new Arizona Cardinals coach, said this in October.
Kyler is a freak, and I've followed him since he was a sophomore in high school, and just think the world of him and what he can do on a football field. And I've never seen one better in high school, and he's starting to show it now at the college level. And I mean, I don't have enough good things to say about him. He's phenomenal. I've never seen him have a poor outing, not one, which a quarterback, it's impossible to do, but he's done it. And I don't know, I'd take him with the first pick of the draft if I could. I know he's signed up to play baseball, but he is a dominant football player, and I would take him with the first pick.
So now, Cliff, if the whole Bachelor thing doesn't work out like Stephen A. wants, you got a chance to get your quarterback maybe in the first round. Kyler Murray would be the first player to be selected in the first round in the MLB and NFL drafts. That's my minute,
guys. I don't know if you would select Kyler Murray overall. Probably what you do is in your scenario is you would trade Josh Rosen, you trade the number one pick. I mean, I don't know anybody that would take Kyler Murray number one overall, and you probably trade back to like 17, and then you would select Kyler Murray. It is very interesting, though. I saw a guy from Pro Football Focus. He was kind of saying the same thing about how maybe Rosen isn't a good fit with Cliff Kingsbury and how someone similar to Kyler Murray would be a better fit. Man, it is crazy. Over the last 72 hours, it has definitely changed all college football season. It was Kyler Murray's going to play baseball. He's going to play baseball. He's going to play baseball. Man, I don't know what happened. Something's in the water in 2019 because the sentiment for him going to play baseball has diminished day after day.
I would tell him this. I mean, listen, dude. I mean, I know a lot of people, a lot of friends, a lot of guys that have chosen to do something that they weren't passionate about as a profession in their lifetime, and they look back 10, 15 years later and said, man, I wish I would have done this. So if I had anything to say to Kyler Murray, I would say forget about the money, at least for right now. Do what you want to do, because I think the money's typically going to be there for people that are passionate and talented at what they do. I mean, if he does go and play football, he's going to have to return $4.6 million to the Oakland A's. But I think he's going to be just fine in the NFL. The problem is, I'm just curious how they use him in the NFL. What is he, 5'8"? Something like that. I mean, that does not, you know, you can be a shorter quarterback and still be pretty good, but 5'8 is short, man. Like, that is, what? Like, what's Mahomes? We thought Mahomes was short. You and I met him in person.
I didn't think he was that short, though.
Yeah, I mean, is he six foot?
I actually thought Mahomes was probably more my size, and he was just a much bigger human being than I was.
Yeah.
I thought he was kind of my build.
The height thing for me, at least a quarterback, is curious for Kyler Murray. But, hey, listen, man, do what you want to do, kid. You know, you got some options here, and I read earlier today that if he gets drafted in the first round, in the NFL. He'll be the first guy ever to be a first-round draft pick in both Major League Baseball and the National Football League. So do what you got to do, man. I mean, the one thing I do know in life, regrets are awful. Regrets are absolutely awful. And we brought up Bubba Starling on this show before many times. And, you know, I can guarantee you that Bubba Starling wanted to play football in Nebraska instead of play baseball for the Kansas City Royals. But $7.5 million was staring at him, and he took it. And I think every time you walk by Bubba Starling, you say, man, that kid wants to be a football player, but he couldn't turn down the money. So if I'm Kyler Murray, if Kyler Murray's listening to the show, which I know is a huge listener of our show, right, C-Dot? I would just tell him, man, go with your heart, kid. Do what you got to do, and eventually things will be fine.
I was just thinking this of kind of reading the text line and kind of listening to you talk about the Colts of I actually don't think your feeling in this game kind of mirrors Chiefs fans. Like all week I kind of been giving you grief about how you were a typical Chiefs fan. In October, it was, I don't care about power rankings. Don't put the Saints ahead of us. The Chiefs are the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Then they lost to the Chargers, and it has been a slow descent to negative Nancy town for Brad Fanning.
Yeah.
That I don't think Chiefs fans are nervous about playing the Colts. I think they're nervous about the playoffs, but that's to be expected. Yeah. It is a lose-and-you-go-home scenario. I think the Chiefs fans are excited about playing the Colts because I think that a majority of Chiefs fans feel like they are a better team than the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. I think you are one of the few fraction of Chiefs fans that believe the opposite. You think the Colts are a better football team than Kansas
City. I don't think they're a better football team. I think they're playing better right now, if that makes any sense. I think they're playing better right now. I think they're hotter than the Chiefs right now. And, and again, I'll go back in my whole roller coaster ride of the season for the Chiefs. Yeah, I didn't have great expectations going into the season. And then I saw him come out of the gate and go 5-0 and beat a bunch of really good football teams, beating the Chargers on the road, beating the Steelers on the road, taking care of the Niners at home, beating Denver on Monday Night Football. You know, I mean, you know, taking care of the Bengals like they should have. I mean, the Chiefs looked really, really good. They were better than I thought they were going to be. And then, you know, Kareem Hunt, his issues. He's gone. Sammy Watkins can't stay healthy. Eric Berry's not going to come back and be a factor. You know, are they good enough to go 12-4? That makes me really happy. Are they good enough to win the division? Absolutely. That makes me pumped. But now you're getting into the playoff part of this. So what can they do in the playoffs? Does this team legitimately look like they can make a deep run in the playoffs? And I think the Colts are a real problem for them in this game because I do think the Colts are playing better than the Chiefs right now. And the Chiefs aren't the same offense that they were in October that they are in January.
Yeah, I guess I'm really surprised. The Colts, to me, don't look like a team that can make a deep run because technically if they make that, if they win, they will be the team that makes
the deep run. Maybe they don't make a deep run. I don't think they're going to make a deep run either. But I think they can cause problems for the Chiefs. I mean, you say styles make fights all the time. It's a bad matchup for the Chiefs, man, based on what the Colts do and what the Chiefs don't do well. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I also think you could say on the other side, I would say the Colts are a good matchup for the Chiefs just based on, I would say, their defensive inefficiencies. Yeah. That we're talking so much about the Chiefs' defense. I mean, if you're completing 70% of your passes against the Colts and they play that cover two zone and Mahomes is 14 touchdown passes, zero interceptions against the zone, and I don't really trust Indianapolis to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, you're telling me that a team is coming into Kansas City who I don't think has great defensive talent, that they play a zone defense and they don't get good pressure on your quarterback? It sounds like if the weather holds up, Mahomes can have a great game against that defense. Pop quiz.
Stand by, going to air. Five, four, three, two, one. Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today's pop quiz winner gets $25 to Twin Peaks. Oh, it makes me feel good to play this. It is the theme song for one of the greatest television shows of all time. Hit it, Nick.
I woke up this morning and got myself a gun. Mama always said I'd be the chosen one.
If you know what TV show that is, be caller number 6 to 913-576-7610. Coming up in 2 minutes, I have another hypothetical button for you to press. I think you'll like it. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.